Shri to darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavakni nirvapanam Shri akariva chandrika vitaranam vidavudu jivanam Anandam buddhivardhanam patipadam punam vitasvadhanam Sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Shri Krishna sankirtanam. Lord Chaitanya left us with 8 prayers. He did not write any books, but just within 8 prayers, everything is contained. Within 8 prayers, he included the entire essence of Krishna consciousness. Chaito Darpanam, the mirror of consciousness, the mirror of the heart. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the translation is as follows. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart, stop the misery of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. Shreya Kairiva Chandrika Vitaranam. It is saying this white lotus, it's interesting because the white lotus, it blossoms at night. See, so in the darkness of the age of Kali, the white lotus is opening up. Shreya Kairiva Chandrika, in the moonlight, that's why Chandrika. So, in the midst of this darkness of the age of Kali, somehow or other this Sankirtan movement has appeared and it's transforming people. So, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. It cleanses the consciousness of everyone, those who are chanting, those who are responding, those who are just hearing. Srila Prabhupada said that when the Sankirtan party goes through the street, everyone in the street becomes purified. But not only that, still more than that, the street itself becomes purified. And anyone who goes through that street later on also gets purified, even after the Harinam party has left. So in this way, the potency of the chanting is just, what shall I say, it is just way beyond our imagination. We know, this holy name is full of transcendental potency. We know that this holy name has tremendous effect, but we cannot estimate the effect. If we would estimate the effect, we would not be so calm as we are now. We would not be so self-composed. We would by no means be so rational. We would just completely be overwhelmed, and we would just think, this is amazing, amazing what is going on. This chanting is just transforming everyone. If only we thoroughly understood the potency of the holy name, then we could appreciate our good fortune. When we would be aware of our good fortune in deep appreciation, then we could chant for the welfare of all others. Sankirtan is a process based on compassion. Every year we try to go to Momgachi, if not physically, at least in the mind, to pray before Vasudev Datta, because Vasudev Datta was ready to take all the sinful reactions of all the living entities within the entire universe upon him. where have we seen such a manifestation of compassion as in Vasudev Dutta? So it is particularly compassion that is on my mind when I'm saying, let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the misery of the blazing fire of material existence. I'm thinking of the hearts of all living beings, my own heart anyway. What can be said? What can be done, right? As Vasudev Dutta was ready to take all the sinful reactions. In other words, the focus is on the welfare of others. We see that that is somehow or other what happened to Prabhupada's movement. Prabhupada began to chant in matchless gifts in New York, and so many young people at the time came and chanted with Prabhupada. And one day that kirtan went out into the streets, out into the park, and now there is a sign there next to that tree. On the tree there's a sign that says Hare Krishna tree, and then next to the pathway there's an explanation which says that it is here that the founder Acharya Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness began his Hare Krishna movement by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, under this tree. So it's very nice that the city council has acknowledged this place, and has acknowledged that, yes, here it began. Of course, whether it began there, or whether it began on the Jaladuta, or whether it began before Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta when he was translating his Bhagavatams, or when he was in Radha Damodar, or whether it began before when he was chanting japa in Advaita Bhavan in Shantipur, or whether it happened before when he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his spiritual master, in Ultadanga Road, who told him to preach Krishna consciousness in the English language. Wherever we want to put the beginning, that, you know. But in one sense, that moment under the Tompkins Square tree was undoubtedly historical. Because Prabhupada knew what he was doing. Others didn't know. They knew there was some sort of mystical personality. Actually, Prabhupada was sitting off to the side. Many didn't even see him at first sight. There was something going on in the park, a happening. Everybody was there, and happenings were the thing of the day, right? And when hippies would gather for a happening, they would all just sit down, and many had little drums, and many had flutes, and they were just all blowing it, just like the children are doing near the Gada Park here in Mayapur. They couldn't play, but they didn't mind. Children don't mind, and people who are stoned out of their head, they also don't mind. And that's what it was. And so somehow or other, it all merged into a drone and a continuous chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Nobody knew what was going on, but then they saw Prabhupada sitting a little off to the side, and they saw how he was intensely chanting, and actually realized he was doing it. He was driving it. He was driving the music, they thought. Some exotic music. Exotic man from India, maybe some sort of priest or something. Possibly some may have linked it with religion, others just with music. But who understood? Chetu Darpanam Marjanam, that the heart was purified by this holy name. And this is the exciting thing about chanting. When we know, it's very exciting. We go in the streets chanting. Some people are favorable. One time in Amsterdam, we went on a Harinam, and just at the beginning, at the start, there was a street artist who was drawing pictures on the ground. And in this case, he had drawn the painting of Michelangelo, God seated on a cloud, with a sour face, kind of pointing down. At least it seemed like that, at the sinners. Of course, actually, it is a painting of the Sistine Chapel, that has a slightly different meaning. God is reaching out, as is said there, but it doesn't look like that. It looks like the punishing God. And yes, we left on that place. It's exactly where we began the Harinam. And we went around the block, you know, and then, some people smiled, some people danced, and then, you know, suddenly, unexpectedly, from one window up, a toilet seat flew out of the window at the Harinam party. You know, so we ducked, you know, and it missed us just about this. And we moved quick, you know, wondering what would come next. the whole thing, right? Anyway, so, you know, then we moved on, and some people smiled, some people danced, and we sort of forgot about that crazy incident when one man suddenly came up and spit on the ground in front of us, just like, you know, one of those intense ways of spitting, right, on the ground. It's kind of like, gosh, you know what I mean? What's wrong with people today? You know, what is it? You know, what's wrong with them? Some others responded well. Anyway, we did a full circle and we came back to that painting. And then it dawned upon me. We don't want your God. Your God who is punishing and who is punishing the sinful. Go home with your God. We don't want him. Yes. That was there. Little do they know. They don't know about the eternal festival. Golokere prema dana harinam sankirtana. They don't know that eternal festival has just descended into the middle of the streets. They don't know that it's completely transcendental and ecstasy, whatever is happening there. They don't know. But it doesn't matter, because it acts anyway. Knowingly or unknowingly, everyone becomes transformed. Most the chanters, those who are actually chanting. Second of all, the hearers, those who hear. Even the ones who don't want to hear. Doesn't work. It's too loud. They get purified. All living beings get purified by this chanting. Chetu Darpanam Marjanam. Prabhupada is explaining that as we're engaging in materialistic activities, that throws up dust, these material activities, as we're interacting with so many material things. Each time these things throw up dust, and that dust settles on the mirror of our consciousness. And the result is, in a mirror covered with dust, what can you see? It's like, I don't know about your tilak mirror, but my tilak mirror always gets tilak dust on it after a while. And then I have to, at one point you can't see anything anymore. At first you sort of, you know, go on for a few days until you really think like, I already have no glasses on when I put tilak, and then, you know, I really see nothing. Right? So then I realize, dust on the mirror. Yes, okay, wipe it off. Then the tilak is on the forehead. And then later that dust goes on the glasses. Right. Yeah, lots of fun. Tilak. Yes, anyway. So, what to do? We are like this. We have to wipe it clean. Otherwise, we get a blurred picture. Not a clear picture. Not a clear picture of the truth. Not a clear picture of reality. We don't see everything in its proper perspective. We just look at things and disconnect them from Krishna in our mind, and the result is that we are mad. We're going mad by all these things. As soon as we see things disconnected from Krishna, they lead to madness, fear. Oh no, bhayam dvitya binivesita syat. What can happen? What, you know, there is groups of people, they think together, right? And in America, they call that a think tank. You know, we have a think tank, a group of people, they sit together, a think tank. And there was a cartoon magazine called The New Yorker, and they had a cartoon of the worry tank. And this group of people sitting around a table, and they're just talking, you know. What if something will go wrong? Someone said, someone else said. What if nothing will go wrong? Anything can go wrong. And anything will go wrong if disconnected from Krishna. And by chanting, we again reconnect everything with Krishna. Everything. Then everything turns right. That's the essence of the chanting. So, in this, but it takes some time because the misconceptions have deeply taken root in the consciousness. We've become attached to them. Sarva upadhi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam risikena risikesa sevanam bhakti uchate. We have to give up all this identification. Upadhi. We have to become nirupadhi. Nirupadhi, no upadhi, no designation, no, not I am this, I am that, I am. This is where it all begins. Other than, I am the servant of Krishna. Not, I am nothing. Like Satsarup Maharaj said that to Prabhupada. He said, I am nothing. Prabhupada said, you're not nothing, you are something, but you are not what you think you are. Puff. That's sort of... not nothing, you're something, but you're not what you think you are. Yeah. Yes, that's interesting. So that's us. We are not what we think we are. And it takes time to actually become purified, to understand who we really are. Nectar Devotion says that when the sun comes out, that not only are you seeing the sun, but by the light of the sun you can also see yourself. See? So in this way, when we see Krishna, we also know ourselves. Then we know ourselves. In relation with Krishna, we begin to understand ourselves. Without that, see, somehow or other, that is our nature, that we are always in relation with something. Like right now, I'm in relation with a soft cushion.
I sort of have a comfortable experience,
also something in the back.
It's sort of like
I'm already getting attached to this relationship. This one. But we are always in relation. In relation to the place. In relation to the people we are with. Who are we? Who are we? I'm different. I'm different with different people. Different. Yeah. Different part of myself comes out each time. I'm with different people. Just see. Because that is our nature, to be in relationship with. So this chanting restores that original relationship, the essence of all relationship, relationships in this world. What is their meaning? It is only Krishna that makes anything meaningful. Without Krishna, no meaning. No meaning.
Now the thing wants a password again. Okay, there it is. Yes,
the material world is described as Mahadavagni. Mahadavagni means a blazing forest fire. Mahadavagni, a great forest fire. So a totally overpowering situation is a great forest fire. There's nothing you can do when that comes. The forest fires, they can travel with like 120, 130, 140 kilometers an hour in a straight line. Even with a car on the road driving full speed in the west, you'll have a hard time getting away. What to speak in India, no way. Too many things on the road. Possible. Hong Kong. Garam, garam. It's very hot. Very hot. My tail is burning. Only sannyasis, they have no tail. They don't have to worry. Otherwise, tails, they burn. This blazing forest fire in our material existence. Yes. So it is too much, the material energy, too overpowering, too beyond our strengths. There is no question from, well, you know, just stay calm. No. Don't get so worked up about things. We'll work it out. You know, it's just a matter of making intelligent arrangements. Believe it, if you want to dream. You think you'll get on top of the elephant, but I'm telling you, for a while you'll be on top of the elephant, until the elephant gets on top of you. That's material life. Yes, and then you crawl from under that elephant again, and try once again to get on top. But no one can stay on top of the elephant all the time. Sometimes you're hanging halfway, and sometimes you're under the elephant again. The three modes of material nature. Prakrite kriyamana niguna karmani sarvasa hankaram vimudat makartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by the modes of material nature. So there it is. We think we're in control and the modes of material nature are doing. So the elephant is doing. And sometimes on top, dukavat annyavatsukkam kalena sarvatakabira ramasa, happiness, distress comes on its own accords. Upariyada, sometimes upwards, sometimes downwards, sometimes on top of the elephant, sometimes under the elephant. Yeah, what to do? So, the situation is precarious. It is a blazing forest fire. It's not from, well, you know, I kind of, no, really, I have some interest in Krishna consciousness. I will read the magazine next week. Thank you very much. Forget it. Now! Now is your chance. It's a crisis. It's very urgent. It needs to be dealt with immediately. No delay. No delay. I'll do it later. You don't know how much longer you will live. Maybe the earth will open and swallow all of us in the middle of this lecture. Yeah? Maybe. Possible. Can happen. Anything can happen. You may say, well, I don't know, that's highly unlikely. But I tell you that I was here in Sridhar Mayapur, staying in a room in the Conch building on the very top, on the site. And one morning at 6 a.m., there was this noise as if they were hitting with a big hammer on the wall. So, and if they were coming through the wall, I thought, what in the world are they doing? Right? Big hammer, like not just a no. Boom, boom. And next moment, a crack in the wall, and then the floor cracked right open. It cracked this wide, all the tiles stood up. I thought that the Godzilla was gonna come out, or something like that, you know. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen, and I also didn't wait to see. If you know what I mean. In fact, I didn't know that I could fly, but I can. I can. Yes, I can. I flew through the room, and I grabbed my deity. Then with the other hand, I grabbed my computer. And I flew out of the room. Beatback was around the neck.
That was there. Yeah, now that's always supposed to be there. Where is it, by the way? Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. It's always handy to have. That's it. Better safe than sorry. So... Yes, so in this way, what can I say, you know? It's at moments like that that you believe it, you know? It's a blazing forest fire and it's getting very serious and there's not a moment to lose and we have to really be ready to go back to God. Other times, you know, when over a pizza and, you know, and with some fizzy drinks, things look different. It looks like the material world goes on forever, and we're young forever, and we're joking and laughing, and the night is young, as they say in Spain, la noche es joven. Yes. So, in this way, yes, the night is young. You like that? Yes, what to do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, Brazil. Kirtan in Rio. Sweet. South American melodies. Why not? It's the holy name. It penetrates everywhere and transforms everyone. Oh, yes. So much faith. Suddenly, through this chanting, we get faith in Krishna. Oh, I was there in Brazil and we did this Harinam. And at the end, we had some coconut. And then, somehow or other, a piece slipped from my hand and a black dog just got it. He caught it mid-air, but didn't eat it, spit it out. One devotee just grabbed it up from the ground and ate it. Mahaprasada Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi Swalpa Punya Tratan Vajan Vishwasune Vajayate. Whoa. That's Vishwas. That's deep faith in Mahaprasadam, at least. Whoa, who would do that? Huh? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta here in Mayapur, when there was Govardhan Hill and there was a huge thing going on, all the devotees were like upset, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta came and said, what happened? He said, a dog ate from Govardhan Hill. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, no. Yes, no, really, a dog just put its nose right in the hill. No. Yeah, where? There. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta just put his hand in there and put it in his mouth. Mahaprasada Govinde Namabramani Vaishnave Swalpa Punya Vatandrajam Vishwasameva Chayate. That's faith. That's deep faith. That's trust, you know what I mean? In prasadam, in the mercy of Krishna. That is having faith in the mercy of Krishna. It is this. This is the life of the Sankirtan devotee, who has faith in the mercy of Krishna. And therefore, him or herself taking shelter in that mercy, making whole life a chain of mercy everywhere, surrounded by mercy. Therefore, chanting, sometimes quietly, and in the early nightly hours, when when the world is cutting firewood. At that time, when the neighbors are cutting the legs from under the bed, at that time, just chant, be alone, peaceful. No one is busy with so many things. In the middle of a busy day. This morning I sent a quick message, and the title of the message was In the Middle of a Busy Day. And there, in the middle of a busy day, I just wrote one verse about Krishna. Just one moment with Krishna in the middle of a busy day. Just one round in the middle of a busy day. 16 rounds in the middle of a busy day. So alone with Krishna. Yes. Nothing to do. Forget everything else. No other activity. Nothing else. Just chant. Alone with Krishna now. Just like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Harinam Chintamani. In Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in this world, there is only the Jiva and the Holy Name. Only the Jiva and the Holy Name. See, but what about the deity? Yes, deity is also eternal, but still in this age of Kali, everything must be preceded and followed by the chanting of the holy name, says Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbha. Therefore, only the Jiva and the holy name. That's something. So in the morning, it's like that. Only the Jiva and the holy name. Not the Jivas and the holy name. Hey, Jeev! How are you this morning? Oh, pretty foggy, yeah. Oh, yeah. Foggy like anything. Oh, yeah. And cold, huh? Winter coming. Oh, yes. I always say, when it gets cold, then the devotees don't go to the Ganga anymore. And the result is that the Ganga comes to us. That's why there's fog, you see. When the devotees stop going to the Ganga, Ganga Mata, she tolerates it for a few days and then it's enough. Enough. So they're not coming. It's okay. No problem. I'll go to them. And that's why in Mayapur there is the fog coming off the Ganga. Ganga's coming to us. So, like that, we can see. Yes. But the jivas strike up a conversation. Therefore, better get up earlier. Better get up still earlier that there's no one else. And then just chant and chant. Just nothing to do. Chant. Just chant.
So like this.
Whether we chant, we must chant alone. Alone with Krishna. There we gain strength to conquer our mind, the mind that wants to go into a million things, bahu sake anantas cha, because that's the nature of sense gratification.
Like, this is good. Oh, but this also is good. Oh, and this is good. And this one is good. And in the end, it becomes quite a collection. And then, yeah, what can we say? Strings attached to all these things. I hope it's still recording. If not, well. Someone else is recording it, in case yours doesn't record. So, shoot.
Yes. So like that.
Seya kaireva chandrika vitaranam vijavadu jivanam. Vijavadu. It's vijavadu jivanam. It says, Vija is of all education, Vadu is wife, Vadu is wife, and Jivanam, the life. So, it's like, it's the life and soul of all education, that's how it's translated.
Very romantic.
Anyway. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. And it said, sarvatmasnapanam, atmasnapanam, snan. You know what a snan is, right? Snan. Snan means a bath, right? So snapanam means bathing of the self. So we are bathing ourselves in this transcendental sound.
That is our process. Sabda pare chanisnatam brahmani upasamasrayam.
Always bathing in transcendental sound.
That actually is the recommended process for a self-realized soul. Whether chanting, hearing, and then chanting again, without hearing, it is like a lamp without oil. The hearing is the oil of the lamp of chanting. See? Hearing about Krishna, so that we understand, so that our hearts becomes purified and that we develop faith. It's not an intellectual type of hearing where we are categorizing, analyzing. It is hearing that goes hand in hand with faith. Faith is developing. And as faith is developing in Krishna, then a shift takes place. Because faith, if we look at faith, the living entity by nature is anandamaya bhyasat, pleasure seeking. That's our constitutional position. And faith is where we will be seeking. If you think money, money, money is the honey, 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 then you're gonna be looking for it everywhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How much you got? Give it to me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Give, give to me, to me, to me. Hey. Give, 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 yeah. Lots of. Can give an advance today and the rest tomorrow.
All yours.
Take care. Witnesses also. Huh? We'll speak about the installments. No problem. So, in this way, we can appreciate where the faith is. Where we think that happiness will be, that's where we'll go. Oh, it's simply like that. Yeah. So the faith has become misdirected due to our poor vision. Because of all that dust, remember? On the glasses, on the mirror. Big problem. We cannot see. So therefore, misdirected. Misdirected faith. Faith in the wrong things. Sex. Yeah. Money. Power. All these things. Faith in me. But it has to be transferred to Krishna. So, eventually, due to this bathing in transcendental sound, by hearing, by chanting, it will spill over. It's like Vaisheshika, our book distributor, Prabhupada disciple, who is like really dedicated to book distribution completely. It's his life and soul. He always says, Sankirtan depends on the spillover of your sadhana. It depends on the spillover of your faith. It depends on the spillover of your happiness. Prabhupada said, just show people how happy you are. Really simple. If you want to preach, just show people how happy you are. Easy. I'm so happy that I'm a devotee. So happy. My whole life has changed since I got involved with the Hare Krishna movement. Can you describe that happiness a little more? Well, it's some sort of, it's not the ordinary happiness, you know, of the material world. Well, then what kind of happiness is it really? Could you please explain that? Well, it's some kind of very subtle thing, you know. It's very high. Very high, subtle. It's kind of ethereal, you know what I mean? No, I don't know what you mean. Do you know what you mean? I mean, are you happy? Of course. How dare you ask such a thing, you know what I mean? Of course I'm happy. I'm totally happy. Are you sure? Are you sure? Right? But then, there's that famous handbill that Prabhupada carried with him on the Jaladuta along with his Srimad Bhagavatams. A picture of himself and the expression on his face. The corners of his mouth were like totally downwards. And Yadurani, who was an artist, when she saw that handbill, she said, oh, you must have been very sad at that time. Prabhupada said, sad? That was my greatest moment of ecstasy. Not just cheap laughing, cheap giggles. That was the Maharishi Yogi. The Maharishi Yogi was always bubbling, you know. Bubble, giggle, giggle, yes. And everyone, you know, guru of the Beatles maybe, was he? Or was he not? Whatever. He was in the newspapers like that. Prabhupada was different. Prabhupada was serious, grave. His happiness was grave. It was deep. He was peaceful. Deeply, deeply, deeply convinced. Nothing but Krishna. Nothing but the holy name. So this is where all this is leading. A blissful ocean. It gives a cooling effect to everyone, enables one to taste full nectar at every step. So after all this, maybe you have a question or two. I can see if I can, if I'm smart enough to answer them. If not, I'll just avoid the question. Well, actually, we have no questions. No problem at all. There is one, eh? Okay.
How should we treat our mind when we are chanting and mind is going? Should we be like kind or should we be
hard? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the stick and the shoe. Yeah, that you should beat your mind with this, in the morning with a stick and at night with a shoe. It's sort of like,
you know,
it's difficult to beat your own mind, you know, to get really serious about it. Right? So it's hard to follow that process. What do we do? Yeah. The other day I was speaking about this also in the Nectar Devotion class, and that we had in Radhadesh, we have this devotee from Ireland, a brahmachari with bushy eyebrows, very bushy kind of, and he's an actor, and he did this thing where he is a devotee chanting japa, and behind him on the white wall suddenly there is a projection, and it's his mind. It's another picture of himself is above him, and that mind is saying, oh God, how long are we gonna do this for?
Shut up! Shut up!
Oh God. Shut up, we're chanting! Oh, chanting. It's boring. Oh.
Shut up. Rix. It goes on like.
And then after a while, you know, the mind is very expert. The mind can not only produce images, the mind can even produce smells. And the mind says, hungry! a little bit, actually.
Prasadam!
Hot piece of pizza, piece of chalky crunchies. You like?
go away. Hurry, later, later.
Hurry, he said. Later it will be finished. Anyway, the whole, it goes on and on like this, you know, and it's very good. It's really, really good. And you really get it, you know, that battle with the mind and so on. And then the mind goes on a journey and you're on the moon. And it's amazing, right, how the thoughts can take you just anywhere. And then, yeah, you know, bring back the mind, you know, it goes, okay. Hare Krishna. Again, the mind went, bring back the mind. And bring back the mind. So difficult to bring back the mind. So this goes on until there is taste. It is only on the strength of taste that we can keep the mind focused on Krishna's lotus feet. See? And this is the trick. We need taste. And how are we going to get it? By hearing about Krishna, by serving Krishna. Krishna is actually nice. I mean, sort of. He kind of, he looks nice. He plays a mean flute, you know? A pretty good musician, I would think. Like that, Krishna is actually attractive. So the more we are hearing about Krishna, absorbing ourselves in finding out about Krishna, in serving Krishna, the more we naturally become attracted to Krishna. Then, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Then the mind doesn't, it cannot go anywhere else, because the mind is no longer interested in anything else. Once I was checking in for a flight, and this flight was going over snowy mountains, and they asked me at the check-in time, aisle seat or window seat. It was a beautiful day, clear sky. I chose the window seat. So have a look at those mountains. And we're flying over the mountains, looked at them for a while, and they were impressive, and then got bored with it. Took a book out of my bag, and it happened to be the Nectar Devotion. I opened it up, and it said, the gopis were not interested to see anything but Krishna. Boom. Exposed. So what to say? Ay, oh dear, oh dear. So like this, our interest is not yet there. Our interest is everywhere else, therefore the mind goes everywhere else. But the more we hear about Krishna, the more we serve Krishna, the more our interest will shift towards Krishna. The more we chant Hare Krishna. The more we chant Hare Krishna, the more our interest will shift to Krishna. In the beginning, we like the music. Do you also like the music? Do you like the music? Do you dig the music? So do I. Then we should have a little kirtan in between. Hare Krishna. Nam namakari Bahudani Chasarva Shaktish. Within these names, Krishna has invested all his transcendental energies. So therefore, there's no limit to Krishna. Can we limit Krishna in any way? So therefore, there is no limit to what the holy name can bring. There's no end to what one can realize. There's no such thing as a limit to Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness means dealing with Krishna, who is unlimited. So therefore, up to eternity, there is no limit. Even in the spiritual world, all the residents in the spiritual sky are making spiritual advancement every moment. Not only here in the material world. Here we are making advancement, and there we are relishing the nectar. No, there we are also making spiritual advancement in a different way than here. But there, the love for Krishna is increasing. Eternally so. eternally so. More and more, discovering more about Krishna, embracing every aspect of Krishna. Because, and therefore the chanting is also going on in the spiritual world. It's, they used to say that, you know. Prabhupada once told Umapati, what do you get from chanting? More chanting. And what do you get from that? More chanting. It goes on forever. You thought 64 rounds was impressive. But non-stop forever. Forever. The spiritual world. Yes. Like in this way. It never ends. Because Nam Namakari Bahudha Nitya Sarva Saktis. All Krishna's transcendental energies are included. I'll quickly find the text. Here it is. So now we can chant it all together. Nam Nam Akari Bahudani Jisarva Shaktis Tatar Pitani Amitasmarane Nakala Eta Risita Vakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Dudaivam Idrisam Ihajani Nanuraga. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda. By which you expand yourself. You've invested all your potency in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I'm so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So there's a few points being made. Krishna is non-different from his name. All the enemies, all the energies, all the potencies are there. There are no hard and fast rules for chanting these names. But no offenses should be made at the same time. But somehow or other, we can chant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended loud chanting. Of course, that doesn't mean that they were all using amplifiers in those days. And blasting horn speakers that sort of distort the name and sort of make you wonder, do I really want to be part of this? You know, that makes you want to cut wires and sort of sabotage sound systems and many other varieties of such thoughts might come up into the mind of the innocent innocent sadhaka who's trying to awaken love for Krishna. So is this the way to attain love for Krishna? Too loud. So also but loud chanting, because loud chanting delivers the conditioned souls. It liberates so many living entities. Therefore, chanting with compassion. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all along had this element of compassion in the chanting. You can see. Otherwise, why loud chanting? As Rupa Goswami states in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita, if we want the proof for the loud chanting, see Rupa Goswami's Lagu Bhagavatamrita, and he makes it very clear that the chanting should be loud. Sanatana Goswami describes in Hari Bhakti Vilas that chanting can be done either loud or can be done softly or can be done in the mind. But Rupa Goswami establishes clearly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted it loud. And our acharyas have loudly repeated that point, that chanting must be done loudly, but within, not with, you know, unnecessary. necessarily amplification. I've seen a Harinam party in Africa where all wearing t-shirts, noise boys. Then they're going out. It's not only about clanging and banging. It's not that. It's not. That's the mode of passion. Who are we trying to convince? Ourselves, maybe? What are we trying to do? Engage all that lust that is indriyano mano buddhir in the senses, in the mind, and in the intelligence? Are we trying to drown it out, maybe? Yes, certainly. Kirtan. Kirtan helps. Therefore, once upon a time, before Bibi Govinda Swami sat down, he used to do something else. And even had a different name before. And Ravindra Sarup, who is a good writer, once summed it up in an article, and it said that Bibi Govinda Swami in a kirtan was like a football player in the high school who would go for the man, and who would go for a particular man. He was. I have seen him grab people and spinning them around, and then the next by the neck, by the collar, by the beat bag, by anything you could grab. I've seen him play wompers on the ground. But I can tell you one thing. Huge kirtans. Kirtans that were where everyone was off the ground, where everyone was flying. Kirtan, that's all we ever knew. I can't remember any other kirtan. Sit-down kirtan did not exist from what I remember. Prabhupada, of course, did.
Before,
I'm saying, Prabhupada did. But then, when Prabhupada started to jump after Anandamaya had come, then Prabhupada jumped, then everybody jumped in Boston, and they rang up L.A., and they also jumped. And dancing entered into the kirtan. Then things got wild, quite wild. Yes, we saw that with there were some who would sing sitting down, but not so much Hare Krishna. That was Ayendra really who really got into that. Just sitting down, chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada had said to Hansa Dutta many years earlier that there should be a 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan. He even made schedules. And actually, shortly after, I was the temple commander in Vrindavan, so I was in charge of the schedule. But it was impossible to find people for the night, you know what I mean? So after a little while, the night didn't happen. It was only in the day. But Ayendra did it himself and inspired people. He did the night shift, and suddenly it became an exciting shift. He made it exciting sometimes by wearing those Bharatanatyam bells on his ankles and jump around the temple that in the moonlight, chanting Hare Krishna. He did. I used to sometimes, well, regularly I had rounds left in those days because I was the temple president, so I was very busy. So I would chant japa at night. But whatever may be, he certainly made a contribution where we chanted in a different way, where we chanted more peaceful, sitting down, more meditative, and that has Not that he was only meditative, because he was quite fiery, so he had also very fiery kirtans, but at the same time very mellow. I haven't reached that stage yet, the mellow kirtan stage. Maybe next life. I don't think it will happen to me this life. I try sometimes, but usually it doesn't last very long. What to do? I've given up on these really mellow kirtans. And Sachinanda Maharaj has finally said that it doesn't matter. It took him a while, you know. It took him a while. But he's sort of come to terms with it, so to speak. Because there are no hard and fast rules. There are no hard and fast rules. The potency is in the name, and the essence is how much we are having faith in the name. Yes, so many can chant, but yet when someone has faith in the name, then that name suddenly becomes electrified and powerful. Just like Lokanath Maharaj, he just disappears into an other world when he chants. He's just immediately, as soon as he starts, he doesn't need to warm up at all. He's immediately there. I saw in Durban, in Rath Yatra, usually we take the three chariots through the city, and it's really like packed in downtown, and usually I do the first half and then we go into the city and then of one chariot, and then Lokanath Maharaj the second half. So I took it deep into the heart of the city. The buildings are filled with people, on the roofs everywhere people. Streets just black with people. And then, so I had sort of brought it to a powerful pumping rhythm, and everyone was jumping up and down. And then Lokanath Maharaj. Lokanath Maharaj, he had heard the speech of Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj at the beginning of the Rath Yatra, which describes how Rath Yatra actually expresses how the gopis are pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. And somehow or other, when Maharaj started to chant, he forgot all those people. He forgot that there were like hundreds of thousands of people there, right? Literally speaking, he didn't think of them for a moment. He only thought about Krishna and about taking Krishna back to Vrindavan, and he started to sing Jaya Radha Madhava. Okay, Maharaj, it's not time for class now. No, that was not the case. What was the case? That he was there. He was simply there in Vrindavan at that point. He wasn't downtown Durban with 100,000 people. Anyway, eventually that kirtan from Vrindavan sort of like a volcano burst into Durban, sweeping up the streets into transcendental ecstasy. So there are no hard and fast rules of one must do kirtan in this way, one must do in that way. But at the same time, I remember here one kirtan mela in Mayapur, and our Amalahari Nam, he was reading something from Ayendra, and Ayendra was explaining that when you dress the deity very complicated, you know, in a very complicated way, that makes Krishna look very simple. In the same way, you can make a very complicated melody, and that actually brings out the holy name. And then the Vrindavan boys, they must have rehearsed it, they kind of did a whole thing, you know. I mean, kartals were going like in various ways, and it was flashy, on. But it was also beautiful. Most people couldn't follow it. There was no way I could follow it. I didn't even try. And I was saying, I'm not going to... This one, I'm just going to listen to it and relish it. And it was like that. Later, Chandramouli Maharaj, just say, this was straight from the spiritual world. But anyway, we couldn't follow it, being fallen conditioned souls. So sometimes it's nice to engage the fallen conditioned souls and keep the melody sort of in a form that they can remember it and can sort of follow it. You know, it has its merit, right, at times. Different moments are there for different things. Uh-huh. But one thing I'll tell you, you know, when it comes to harmonium, I'm not really very good at it, actually, you know, to be honest, right? I make so many mistakes. Madhava, for example, is very controlled when it comes to, and there's never a wrong beat, not one wrong note, just all like, and super rhythmic and so on. With me, there's lots of wrong notes, but I fudge it, and you know, you just like, you think it's part of the style, so to speak, right? What to do, you know, that's just the way. yeah, so that's how I kind of play harmonium and this, that, full of mistake. But I tell you one thing, when I do a kirtan, I'm not really playing harmonium. I'm not playing harmonium, I'm playing the people. It's about that. It's about playing the people. And that's what is exciting. To involve others in kirtan and to sort of take them away and to sort of, if I can make them forget themselves, oh, where they go beyond themselves, where they just like go wild. That's exciting. I kind of like those kind of kirtan. So anyway, different styles are okay. Mm-hmm. But since we are the Sankirtan movement, we should take people with us if we can, in general. Huh? You know, especially, I'm not minimizing what Amala Harinam did at all, because it was something that I cannot ever expect to do this lifetime, you know, no way. But that's for him, because he can do that. For us, maybe not. Yes, the holy name is Krishna. There's no limit to Krishna, so there's no limit to the mercy of the holy name. And everything looks great until the last line of the verse, you know, which is all about making offenses. There were no hard and fast rules, and everything seemed great, and then suddenly there's offenses that can be made and that have to be avoided. And it's difficult. In my understanding of the 10 offenses, I have meditated on the 10 offenses quite a bit. And if we take the first offense, which is to blaspheme the devotees, then of course I can tell you a story that my mother used to tell me about two princesses. One, when she opened her mouth, there were roses. And the other one, when she opened her mouth, there were frogs. Now in our case, since we are devotees, we're trying for roses, but sometimes the inadvertent frog jumps out, if you know what I mean. It's just, it comes out. And we blaspheme, and then we think after, oops, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that. That may happen. it's not so easy not to blaspheme the devotees. So, and that's only the first one. Okay, the answers have been given. Turn it around, glorify the devotees. But to do that properly is also just not so easy. Anyway, what I concluded is that these offenses are not just sometimes happening to us. What happens when a soul becomes conditioned, then offensive behavior becomes his normal behavior. And sometimes there is a moment that is not offensive, like the sun coming through the clouds. That's what's going on. It is constant, one big offense, a chain of offensive attitude. And that is our situation that has to gradually transform, you know, if we want to come to Krishna Prem. Otherwise, yes, purification is there. Don't worry. Offenses, no offenses. Purification is there. But it is, we are blocked from Prem. Then we are blocked from Prem. So this is indeed what we're experiencing. So if we could make such an effort, it takes an incredible effort. Otherwise, what happens? If we don't get praying this lifetime, then all we have left is to rely on the mercy. Then all we can hope for is that at the end of this life,
we will get mercy. And that on the strength of mercy,
we will go back to Godhead. Yeah. So that's also there. So let's see if there's a question. Otherwise, we are forced to have more kirtan.
What to do? I don't use it. I can't. I'm allergic to those kind of things. Yeah, smoke. No problem. It's.
Yes.
Talking about loud chanting, and I've had experiences when I was chanting my normal self, which is kind of loud anyway.
Yeah.
It's kind of my personality. I've disturbed other devotees.
Yes.
They didn't like, I have a little wisp, you know.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
It's so intense.
Many times my friend, she would ask me, can you chant softly?
Oh.
More and more. Every time, and I would try,
yeah.
But something with this little whistle used to really disturb her. So, how do we take that? We're supposed to chant loudly, but if it disturbs other Vaishnavas.
Yeah, I know. I also had a neighbor. Oh, God. Yeah. Senior devotee, named with health. Prabhupada disciple and everything, came to have a real serious talk with me. Oh gosh, what to do? Yeah, we should not upset the Vaishnavas. And it can be intense, you know. I mean, I was driving in a car, and behind me there was someone chanting, Hare Krishna, Ram, 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 Rab, 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 Hare Krishna, Ram, Rab, 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 Ram, Rab, 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 Rab. You know, and this is going on in a car, and after 2 hours, I didn't want to be nasty, you know, so I very, very friendly said, Prabhu, do you have any other tune? it was just too much. Rub, rub, rub. Oh. Oh, gosh. So Sometimes you may have to go tone down, and you go out in the open field, and then you can let it out, you know, every once in a while. Yeah.
Dealt with that proper disciple?
I had to chant softly, yes. I chanted softly till 3:45. And then it was time to get up anyway, wasn't it? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Ram! Ram, Ram, Ram. That's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. A light sleeper.
I also had it on a plane one time, you know. At night, I'm in the plane, sitting on the seat, chanting. You know, night is sort of like 4:00 or whatever. And suddenly, the lady from before, in front of me, she pops up over the seat and says, "Stop it! Stop it!" God. Almost had a heart attack. Yeah, that was like... Anyway, okay. I went to the back of the plane. Oh, yeah, yeah. But usually the early evening is great on planes because people, they've paid a lot of money for the flight. So they eat everything they serve. And they mix it all, and it's ridiculous, you know. wine, coffee, tea, everything in a cocktail, right? So then they watch a little TV, and then they knock out. And when they knock out, they really knock out. And then I just walk up and down in the plane. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. No problem. So anyway, you got to take advantage of the opportunities. That's all I can say. Yeah. But in Mayapur, generally speaking, it's the place for chanting. Yeah. So who were greater offenders than Jagai and Madai? And of the two, Madai was even greater. Because Madai hit Lord Nityananda. Then, Jagai was forgiven by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Nityananda had said, of these two, Jagai, he has stopped his brother from hitting me the second time. Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai, and Jagai became delivered from all contamination and became a Prema Bhakta, filled with Prema. And Madai stood there. And Madai looked at his brother and he said, But, what about me? I mean, we did everything together. What I did, he did. What about me? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will never deliver you. Never. You hit Lord Nityananda. Only Nityananda can forgive you. Madai fell at Nityananda's feet, and Nityananda, being very merciful, picked up Madai, embraced him, and Madai also became filled with ecstasy and brain. Both the brothers were transcendental. But after that was over, then Madai still had a problem. He was not happy because he could not forgive himself. Madai was, so Nityananda said, "My dear Madai," he said, "you know, from my perspective, you know," he said, "you know, when a child hits his father, does the father take that very serious?" He said, "From my perspective, you are like a child. I can't take it very serious. So don't worry, Madai. I forgive you. I have forgiven you." But Madai said, "I can't forgive myself. There are so many people that I've offended, and how can I go to them? I don't even know who they are to beg for forgiveness. What will we do for all those people that we unknowingly offended? And Lord Nityananda said, "My dear Jagai and Madai, please listen carefully. Make a bathing ghat on the Ganga. And all the pilgrims who come can go there and take their bath. And when these pilgrims come, you serve them very nicely. And in this way, you will be purified from all offenses. Therefore, this is the key. Let us somehow or other serve the Vaishnavas very nicely. And gradually, we'll become purified from all offenses. Thank you very much. We'll see you again. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Sikshastra ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Shri Pancha Tattva ki jai. Nittai Gaura Premanande.
Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Krish